But praise the Lord for that. The King's Kids and Track Club can be dismissed. What games are we playing tonight? Kickball. Well, let's dismiss and go play with them, adults. I'm just kidding. That's an injury waiting to happen. I'm speaking for me. Ooh, perfect. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Oh, wow.
Bible study.
Yeah.
And I thought we were praying for him here, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's out running around.
Lord, let you run into him.
Amen.
Amen. I bet that was a great encouragement to him, too. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's great. Amen. Sometimes the Lord does that, just to let you know, hey, I hear you. Amen. Amen. Well, tonight we're going to be in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 5, and I'll be honest with you, it feels good to feel good. Oh man, what a difference a week makes. Last week I wasn't feeling too hot, and that the sermon speed got sped up, and don't get your hopes up for tonight. I'll just tell you that ahead of time. This verse tonight, verse number 5, I have been taken to the woodshed today as I read this, as I studied it. This one hurts. And I believe if we're all honest with ourselves, this is going to sting. But it's very helpful. And I'm sure you've heard preachers say, but tonight I mean it. If nobody needs this, I need it. So if nothing else, listen to me preach to me, and I hope you enjoy that for a few minutes, because This is a challenging passage of Scripture. But Matthew chapter 5 tonight, as we're thinking about the mightiness of meekness, And the Bible says, let's start in verse number 1 and we'll read to verse number 5. It says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." And here's where we are tonight. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And may God add a blessing to the reading of his word as we begin, we hop right into this message tonight. And this is yet another paradoxical statement, because, and Jesus, remember, he made a lot of statements like this that contradicted the mindset and the belief of the world of the day. Jesus was living in a time where the chosen people, Israel, were looking for a Messiah. Some zealots were looking for a military king that would come and take over Rome and win by power and by prowess and by dominance. And then the Pharisees were looking for a Messiah to come and perform great miracles in great power and overtake the Roman Empire and take his rule and reign right then. See, they were looking for a king that would come in power and in dominance and in authority. They weren't looking for a king to come in meekness. And we see here that Jesus is telling his disciples and telling us tonight, if we want to be blessed, we got to be meek. And that goes against everything in the world we live in today. In the world we live in today, the world believes if you want to get ahead, you got to dominate. You got to be the alpha male. You've got to be the leader. The one at center stage. I mean, the sports world that we watch on. Make sure it wasn't me. I was like, that could be me. It sounded cool though. Yeah, I was trying to get some emotional music going. Building the scene is what I was trying to do there. Thank you, Miss Mary. Or Miss Rebecca. You're not Miss Mary, Miss Rebecca. I can't remember your name. Sorry about that. Got me so tore up, I can't remember your name. What in the world was I saying? The world we live in today is a world that's all about pride. Me, myself, and I. Me dominating you. I'm better than you. How dare you say anything that belittles me at all. That's the world we live in today. But Jesus wants his children to be meek. And we're going to talk about what that means tonight. And as I went through this and studied it and prepared, once again, I got took to the woodshed and realized I may not be as meek as I think I am. And I believe this would be very helpful to us tonight. So as we look at four things very quickly, I've only got 4 points on that. And there I will try to state clearly the subpoints as we go through. But the first thing I want to look at tonight is the definition. The definition of meekness. We're going to look at under this the meaning, the manifestation, and why meekness is a must. So under the definition, point number one, subpoint A, the meaning. The meaning. So we see in our text, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Three aspects of meekness I want to point out. Meekness, first, means mildness. That could be defined as gentle in nature or behavior. And not only mildness, not gentle in behavior, but submissiveness, meaning to yield oneself to the authority or will of another, to permit oneself to be subjected to something. So mild, so gentle and submissive. And that goes against everything we see in the world today. No one in the business world today is going to say, you need to be gentle and you need to be submissive. But that's exactly what Jesus said his children need to be. But I want us to understand, although meekness is gentleness and meekness is submissiveness, putting the will of someone else above ours, I want to point out that it is not weakness. Meekness does not mean you're weak. I mean, when we hear meek, when we maybe on somebody on the football field and you say, he's about as, I heard somebody say he's about as maniacal as a box of kittens. I mean, you think you call somebody meek, you're basically calling them a sissy. But spiritually, meekness is not a weakness. One man of God had some great definitions for it. His short definition was, meekness is power under control. Power under control. And he goes further. And this is what stings. If we're honest with ourselves. He says, meekness is power used in defense of God, but never in the defense of oneself. Meekness is an example of it, and that's what we're going to look at next. So that's the meaning, mildness, submissiveness, but not weakness. Meekness is power under control. Meekness is us responding in anger when God is wronged, but when we're wronged, not responding in anger. And we're going to see why we should respond that way in just a moment. And that flies all over the face of a lot. I spoke to some people tonight. I told some people in my family. I said, me and you need this one. And we started talking about it. And we could even see it coming out in the way we have acted in the past. But we see some examples. We see the meaning. Now we see the manifestation. I've got several examples. Go with me to Genesis 13. And I think as we look at the examples, it will paint the picture of what meekness is. Genesis 13. We're going to look here at Abraham. Genesis 13. I'm going to read verses 1 through 9. The Bible says, and Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram, he didn't have Ham in his name yet. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land, here we go, the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. Okay, so we've got a strife here. Lot's herdsmen and Abram's herdsmen are at odds and arguing and fighting because there's not enough room in the land. And if Abraham had got in his flesh and not demonstrated meekness, he could say, "Hey, Lot, who's the one that God made the promise to? Who did God say that everywhere your foot treads, I'm going to give you?" He could say, and then Lot would probably say, "Well, you, Uncle Abraham." And then if he got in his flesh, if it was me probably, or maybe you as well, I could say, "Well, get out. This is mine. It was promised to me." And technically, Abram had the right to do that. But doing that would not have been responding in meekness. Look how he responded. "And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife." Abram had every right, because God had made the promise to him. But remember, meekness is power under control. Meekness is not responding in anger when you've been wronged. He says, Abram said, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou wilt depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left." And I have read that before and thought, "What are you doing, Abram? You might get the land that you're not supposed to have." See, but Abram was responding in meekness. He was understanding that God was in control. He did not want to cause strife and contention. He wanted to respond in meekness and trust God to be faithful to his promise. And that's what he did. And as we know, everything, the story plays out. Abram ends up exactly where he was supposed to be. He trusted God. He responded in meekness. He could have bowed up and said, "Get out." But no, he said, "I don't want to argue." He said, "If you go left, I'll go right. You go right, I'll go left." And he left the rest up to God. Man. And on do we see with Abram. Think of Joseph. If anything could go wrong in a life, especially a life of a man that's living a godly life, it was in the life of Joseph. Every time he did something right, it's like he got penalized for it. And you remember what happened with him and his brothers. They resented him because their father showed favoritism to Joseph. Now, that wasn't Joseph's fault. If we're not careful, we see Joseph as an entitled little brat that was tattletaling on his brothers. No, he was just telling the truth, being honest. He didn't do anything wrong. That's just the world's philosophy showing up in us when I've thought that. But you remember his brothers, they plotted to kill him. But then one of the brothers talked them out of killing him, but they threw him in a pit, and then they sold him into Egypt. And you know how it all comes full circle, and then Joseph's second in command in Egypt, all according to God's plan, and then he stands before the brothers that put him there. If anybody could have, and he had the authority to point and say, "Kill him." If anybody in our flesh could look at that and say, okay, I've been waiting. Oh my, I've been waiting. I've been in the prison plotting their death, plotting their pain. They put me through all this, and now it's my turn. That's how we would want to respond. But is that how Joseph responded? No. He loved his brothers. He told them, he said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. He had every right, we would think anyways, to respond in absolute anger and punish them for what they'd done. But Joseph understood that God was in control of this thing, that God had a plan in every bit of it. And he responded, he had been wronged, yes. But he responded in meekness and love. He was a peacemaker. And that caused his brothers, even after their father's death, to carry that burden. I mean, they were broken over what they had done. But Joseph responded in meekness. Another example. Remember David when he's on the run from Saul? Remember the opportunity David had to kill Saul? The men said, Dale, here's your chance. Here's your chance, David. He's been chasing you for all this time, and now here's your chance. He's asleep in the camp. You take this, you take his spear and kill him with it. I mean, that's how I would have wanted to respond after me having been on the run for years and years and years, having done nothing wrong. But how did David respond? Honestly, if David were standing here, he would still say he responded wrong. Because he even went down there. And he apologized and repented and apologized to Saul, but he responded in meekness. He didn't use that opportunity to bow up and kill the man. He used that opportunity to honor God. Responded in peace. And that just made Saul that much more angry. But he responded in meekness. And then the ultimate example. Jesus. The only person ever to live that had the absolute right to do whatever he wanted to the people that were doing what they were doing to him. The only good person to ever live who was actually being wronged for something he did not deserve. And he could have called 10,000s of angels to wipe them all out and would have been no less God. But how did he respond? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Love, meekness, gentleness, submissiveness. But on the flip side of that, remember I said earlier, meekness is us not responding aggressively when we're wronged. But when God's wrong, that's when we respond. What did Jesus do to the money changers' tables? He tore that place all to pieces because God was being wrong. That's when it's okay to respond that way. But it's not okay to respond that way when we're wronged, ever. And you say, well, you don't know what they did to me. I don't. Still not right. And we'll talk about that in a moment. And here's a couple examples to bring it a little closer to home. Example of meekness. So think about you sitting in a restaurant. You've been waiting for 2 hours. Right after Sunday service, the Methodists got there before you did. Is that the joke, I guess? They beat us there. So you're already aggravated. And then you sit down. And your waiter or waitress does an absolutely horrendous job. You're already mad. Meekness, is meekness in that situation, you say, well, I ain't getting no tip today. Is that meekness? No. Meekness is you responding in love and leaving them a good tip. Not because they deserve it, but because you love them. Because God's in control of this thing. And see, we're going to understand why you can respond that way in just a moment, but that is what meekness is. Another example. Say you're at your job and you're criticized by your boss or by a fellow employee. Our flesh wants to bow up and say, you need to shut your mouth. But is that meekness? No. Remember, meekness never responds in anger when one is wronged, but only when God's wronged. And we'll understand why we can respond that way in just a moment. And I got plenty of other examples. A bad call at a sports game, that brings out a lot, and that brings out the worst in a lot of people. And they may have blew the call. Meekness says, okay, it's all good. It moves on. I'll leave those other ones for another day. But we see the meaning. We see the manifestation of meekness. And then very quickly, a few things. Why meekness is a must for children of God. First, because meekness is central to salvation. You've got to humble yourself before God before you can get saved. You've got to agree with God about who you are and what you've done and what you deserve. See, someone can't come to God and say, God, you owe me this, you owe me that, I've not done anything wrong. That's not meekness. Meekness is central to salvation. Meekness is commanded in the Bible. Meekness is the only way that we can comprehend the Word of God. If you don't come to your Bible with a humble spirit, a meek spirit, understanding you need help, that's the only source of help. If you don't come to the Bible with that, but you come to the Bible with, I'm set in my ways, I'm going to do my own thing, and then you try to read, you're not going to be able to understand the Bible. God's not going to show you what you need to do from the Bible. And then also, meekness is the only way that we can perform the Great Commission. 1 Peter 3:15, I'm not going to read the verse, but there it talks about, basically, always be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within you with meekness. The only way to do it right is if you're meek, humble, gentle, submissive, loving. That does not describe a lot of Baptists today. You can almost see that in their posture when they're talking to somebody. Or the way they even walk in a church building. I've witnessed it. I thought that was the way to do it for the longest time, so that's how I did it. So that's the definition of meekness. Now I want you to see the progression. How do we get there? And we've already walked through it. The progression. How do we get to meekness? First, there must be a recognition of who we are. Verse number 3, we already dealt with it. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You got to realize who you really are, not who you want to be, not who you think you are, but who the Bible says you are, which is low down, dirty, rotten, wretched. The best you have to offer is filthy rags, deserving of hell. That's where you're going without Jesus. There's nothing good about you or me. And we deserve the worst in every situation, not the best. That's why I love that song Brother Bruce Fry sings. In every situation, in every day that we wake up, however that day goes, it's better than we deserve. See, we think God owes us something. God owes us nothing. God owes us, actually, let me back up. God owes us the worst in every situation. And anything better than that is mercy. But we can't recognize that unless we get in the Bible. Unless we humble ourselves before God in repentance and faith and salvation. But then as children of God, getting in the Word and seeing who we really are. You see, when you know who you are, and then you sit down in a restaurant and you get terrible service, if your mind's where it needs to be, if we're honest with ourselves, we deserve worse service than that. So why should we respond in anger? God had mercy on us. But we got to recognize who we really are. So there must be recognition. And then when we recognize who we are, verse number 4, we see the response. And we've already talked about this as well. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Once we realize who we are, it should
tear us apart and cause us to lament who we are and what we've done to a holy God. And that Christ had to go to the cross because of our low-down rottenness. And we respond in mourning. See, when you get that mindset of what you really are, and you mourn over what you've done, then it says, blessed in our verse tonight, blessed are they, verse number 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So recognition, response, and reliance. Trusting. Clinging to. See, when you realize who you are, you realize how much you need God. And see, verse number 5 is the flip side of verse number 3. One preacher put it this way. He said, poor in spirit focuses on my sinfulness. Me seeing me for who I am. But meekness, the flip side of that coin, is meekness focuses on His holiness. The flip side of that coin, when we recognize who we are, and we know who God is, that helps us understand that's we need Him for every second of every day. And when we realize who we are and what we deserve, and we realize who He is and really what He's doing in our lives, we see, say something bad happens to us, we'll realize like Joseph, hey, that's all a part of God's plan. God is growing me. God is shaping me. God is making me more like Jesus. That's the progression of it. Recognition, response, and reliance. Then we see number 3, the construction. How do we grow that meekness? How do we build it? How do we make it better than what it is? Because I'm the first to admit mine's not even close to where it needs to be. How do we build it? First, through purification. We got to come before God and just pour our heart out and leave it and lay it before Him and repent and get clean. And praise God, He said, if we'll confess, He'll forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He'll restore that fellowship so that we can be able to be meek. Because you got to remember, meekness is a fruit of the Spirit. That means you can't be meek unless the Spirit is controlling you. So if you're not being meek, when I'm not meek, which is way more than I'd like to admit, that's me. And if I am meek, that's Christ living in me. So that's how we know. You bow up on a restaurant, don't leave a tip, that's not God. That's you or that's me. Because it's a fruit of the Spirit. We need God to enable us to do it, to have it. That's why we must rely upon Him. But we got to purify ourselves. Then there's got to be a purging. What I mean by that is a purging of ourselves. Remember, being filled with the Spirit is not us getting more of the Spirit, but the Spirit getting more of us. Us emptying us of ourselves so that He can fill us up. Got to surrender. We got to have that proper perspective of who we really are. When we realize how empty we are, just like you did. Hey, when you realized you were lost, really lost. When I did, finally, when I really realized how empty and unable I was to get saved, I got saved immediately. Same thing for us after we're saved. If we're going to get the help of God to produce the fruit of the Spirit, we need to get to where we realize how pitiful we are apart from God and how much we need Him. When we do, we'll run to Him so that we can have His grace to produce the fruit that we can only produce by His Spirit. Got to be emptied of ourselves. Purification. Purging of ourselves. And the pondering of the Scriptures. Got to get in the Bible. So we can learn more of who we are. Learn more of who He is. See, we got to keep that perspective. If we're not careful when we get out of the Bible, stay out of the Bible for a couple weeks. I don't recommend it. But if you were to stay out of the Bible for a week or two, see how your demeanor changes. See how your thought of yourself changes. The way you act toward other people when they wrong you. You're not in the Bible, you get a big view of yourself. It's like your chest pokes out a little more and more and more. But you get in the Bible, it'll drive you to your knees if you come to it humbly.
purification, purging, pondering of the scriptures, and praying, begging God to enable us to do what he says or not to do what he tells us not to do. Because those things we can only do by his spirit. Man, we need God. We must be meek. We must be. And the only way we can be is through the spirit. So we see that's the construction. Now we see fourth and finally, and I'll move quickly through this, the conclusion. We're going to look at the repercussion. All I mean by that is the result and the examination. We're going to take a little quiz and see how meek we really are. But we see it when we are meek by God's grace and he produces the fruit of the spirit of meekness in our lives. The Bible says here, it says, blessed are the meek. Blessed. We're going to be blessed. That's threefold blessedness, I believe. Blessedness in position. Oh, we talked about that in Revelation. We're going to reign with God one day. But right now, we're a part of the kingdom of God. We're a priest of God. And he will enable us to use that position if we will allow him to produce the fruit of the Spirit in us. So, blessedness in position, blessedness in power. He will enable us to do what he's told us to do. But we've got to humble ourselves and be meek, not respond in anger. The Bible says ever. That is impossible in our flesh. But can you imagine in a situation where you have every right to rear your hand back and cold cock somebody, but the Spirit controls you, and you respond calmly, in peace and in love, with joy in your heart, everybody there will look at that and say, how in the world did you do that? Because everybody there was waiting on you to knock them out and call an ambulance. But they see you calmly respond in meekness and in love. That shows that it wasn't you. That's what God wants to do. He wants to produce stuff in us that we cannot produce ourselves, so that when it comes out, people think, whoa, what just happened? That way we can point people to him. But let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The only way we can produce good works is the Spirit producing them through us. Man, we need God. He will enable us to do it if we'll humble ourselves before him. And blessedness in position and power, and praise God in peace. Because that word means supremely blessed, fortunate, well off, happy. Man, you'll have great peace. When you're meek, you will have peace in your heart, joy in your heart. That doesn't mean everything's going to go well. There could be people, the disciples, they were beaten. How did they leave after they got beat? The Bible says they were rejoiced and were exceeding glad that they were counted worthy to suffer for Christ. They had the right mindset. The Spirit had produced it in them. He wants to do it in us if we'll let him. That's the repercussion. Now the examination. Let's ask ourselves some questions. Am I meek? Are you meek? Okay, here's some questions. You answer them to yourself. Do you experience self-control? What I mean by that is, do you retaliate? Do you only retaliate when God is dishonored? That one hurts. Because the only time a meek person retaliates is when God's dishonored. Number two, do I always respond humbly and obediently to the word? Key word, there's always. Someone that is meek will. I promise you, as I say this, I'm not saying this like someone that does it perfectly. Absolutely not. And this isn't my list of questions. I got this from another preacher. And when I went down this list, it was a whooping. Here's another one. Do I always make peace? Because meekness forgives. Meekness restores. Meekness makes peace always. In every situation. You say, that's impossible. It is. But with God, all things are possible. God wants to enable us
in the situations where we know that our flesh will respond very badly, to have control of us in such a way that we'll respond calmly, and everyone there will say, something just happened right there. God wants us to do things so that when people see it, it will produce a question, a curiosity from people around, so that we can share the good news of the gospel. That's why we're here, isn't it? But so many times, if we're honest with ourselves, we live in such a way that it don't produce questions about how did you do that differently, but is that guy even saved? Because do Christians act like that? And that's the response if we probably get. It seems like a lot of times more than the other one. But do I always make peace? Here's a big one. Do I receive criticism well? And do I love the people who give it? When I first heard that question, I welled up immediately. And then the Lord smote me. Because once again, meekness. And that's not saying when the criticism is wrong. I went down this list with somebody this evening. And this person said, and then quickly swallowed their words, but said, I respond to the criticism how it's given. I said, that's not how it's supposed to be done. Meekness responds calmly. Remember, we deserve way worse than that. See, when we grab a hold of what we deserve, nothing will hurt us. Because no matter what comes our way, we deserve worse than that. See, but the devil wants to wants us to have a high view of us so that when bad stuff does happen, we get riled up and respond like our flesh. But if we're controlled by the Spirit, we will respond differently. Do I receive criticism well, and do I love the people who give it? Here's a big one. And I've witnessed throughout my entire Christian life this handled the wrong way. Do you give criticism in meekness or in pride? I've heard a lot of preachers in my day preach on sin in a very proud and arrogant way, not in meekness. And that breaks my heart. Got to do it in love. Got to respond to meekness. And I hope you're seeing like this as I have when I studied and prepared for it. Our mind is thinking, this is impossible. See, God works best in impossible situations. When we realize that's impossible, we need to go to God and say, Lord, that's impossible. I can't do that. See, that's what he wants us to say in every situation. God, I cannot. God, if somebody criticizes me, I'm going to criticize them back. But Christ wants to enable us to respond in a manner that we should, that honors him, that points people to him. That's the ultimate goal. And in tough times and intense times, that's when we can point people to Christ the most. You can be an example the most when it's hard. You can be an example the most when you're criticized. You can be an example the most when things don't go your way, if you'll let God have control. But you're not going to have meekness in the moment if you hadn't spent time in your Bible and with God before you ever get there. But if we, by God's grace, will draw nigh to him, get a proper view of him and a proper view of us, and we'll get in a situation, and you may even, there have been times in my life, and you could probably say the same, where you responded in a manner that shocked you in a good way. And you're like, that's obvious. That wasn't me. That's what God wants. Blessed are the meek. And the Bible says, for they will inherit the earth. Man, oh man. May God help us to be meek, because there is mightiness in meekness. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is power under control. May God help us to be emptied of ourselves and be filled with him so that we can produce that fruit. Because I believe that one would stick out to the lost world
in a very big way. That's what God wants. And the devil knows that I preach this. And you pray for me as I preach this. When I get out this door, I wouldn't be surprised if I got cut off on the highway. Everything went wrong, get pulled over by the police. And Carrie goes into labor and we got to flick on. The devil knows. But praise God, we know the stronger man. Let's ask him to enable us to produce this fruit. Because that's the only way we can produce it. The vine can only produce fruit. Or the branch can only produce fruit by being connected to the vine. For without him, we could do nothing. May God help us by his grace to demonstrate meekness. And when we do, because I could see all the smirks on the eyes, and when we do produce that, you could say, that was you, Lord. That's what he wants to do. He wants to do things in our life that it's only explained that God did it. And in a proud world, if we demonstrate meekness, that's a big thing. But that's all I've got tonight. That's a challenge. In our flesh, that's an impossibility. But with God, all things are possible. And we will stop there tonight. I apologize. I guess I had to make up for the time I...